We're told in a media release from Stellenbosch University that they received a wonderful donation, a particularly valuable, rich and unique manuscript collection. It's called the Maguire San Ethnobotanical Collection, and it consists of data collected by Mr. Brian Maguire between 1954 and 1972, at the time that he was the field assistant to Professor Raymond Dart, he of Australopithecus fame in the 1960s, researching the potential food plants of early hominids. And the collection has been donated to Stellenbosch University by Brian Maguire's widow, Dr. Judy Maguire, local paleontologist, who's on the line to us now from a deep valley next to the Swartberg. Can I join you there, Judy? It sounds much nicer than Cape Town.
Oh, it is, definitely. I wouldn't change for Cape Town, not at all. It's just fantastic here. Clean air. We have no COVID cases. There's just the beautiful scenery all around, a wonderful community. I really love living here.
Okay, you can stop now. We're jealous enough. What is in your late husband's collection, which has now been gifted to Stellenbosch?
Okay, well, look, let me just start a bit with a bit of background about Brian. He grew up in a very remote part of Limpopo province at a locality chosen by his eccentric Irish father. It could only be reached on foot or on donkey, this farm, which is on the spur of the Strait Port range called the Makapansberg.
Yes.
Now, it just happens to be an area that's very, it's a plant hotspot, because in this area there converge a number of different plant types. And he grew up to be absolutely passionate about plants. I was always amazed at the level of detail of his observation. For example, he'd say, "Dude, this feel this leaf, it's just like a little kitty's ear. See those soft hairs." And he had an unsurpassed knowledge of the vegetation. Because the area was so remote, the whole family, it was a family of four children, they were educated by his mother, who was one of the first of two female graduates of the University of Tasmania. She did a degree in physics and mathematics, which she gave up to marry Brian's father. And homeschooling didn't seem to affect him much, because he took the Transvaal Education Department's matric aged 15, and then went on to do a science degree at Wits, and he majored in botany. So from there, he went to work in the Compton Herbarium at Kirstenbosch in Cape Town. And talking about Cape Town, he always used to complain about the cold and damp winters in Cape Town and say he longed for the smell of the Transvaal red dust. But be that as it may, he was still working there when the Southwest African government, as it was then, had a Bushman Commission, which was tasked with investigating the health and nutritional status of the Bushmen of the then Southwest Africa. And this was run by a medical person called Brock, and he was seconded as the ethnobotanist onto that expedition. That was in 1952. And then later on in that same year...
Judy, I hate interrupting you, but I have an eye on the clock, and we're running out of time. So if we could come back to what is in the collection and the value of... Not the monetary value, but the scientific value of what is in the collection.
It's a big collection of documents, field notes, and going with it is a collection of 7,000 plant specimens preserved, which are now at Kirstenbosch or Wits in the herbaria there. Colour slides, several hundreds of them. Black and white negatives and prints, many thousands of black and white photographs. Field notes on food species, their method of preparation. Plant identification keys and lexicons, vocabularies of the Bushman plant names and so on, and exactly how they collected, when they collected, which are the most important species, and so on. Its research potential, because it was collected so long ago, several things have happened in the meantime. The vegetation of the areas where collection was done is changing, partly because of incursion of livestock owners. Now, how this impacts is that the livestock eat the above-ground pots of major underground food storage organs, like bulbs and corms, which are maybe staples in the diet of the bushmen. So the bushmen are no longer able to locate the species that are target species for food plants.
Okay.
The second thing is, if you get a lot of livestock in an area, over time it changes the rangeland, and the livestock owners don't want game to compete with their livestock, and so you have less and less hunting opportunity for the bushmen. And so one can go back to the field notes and actually check the changes of the vegetation. You can also look at attrition of indigenous knowledge, how much knowledge is still present in the communities that live there, and even little details like color awareness, because color and the stage of ripeness is so vitally important to identification and for species where they might be slightly toxic when they're green and only edible when they're ripe, or vice versa. And you can also check whether they still remember the plant names that were current in the 1950s. It also lends itself to the development of a dictionary of plant names, educational material for children, particularly in a language environment where the context for the transmission of very vulnerable languages is it's happening now. There are cell phones, everyone has cell phones, and so one would hope that one can develop educational material in the indigenous languages.
Okay, I mean, again, with an eye on the clock, but this collection is not there to be looked after and stored and protected. It's there to be used. It's there for the intellectual capital it contains to be shared and to be learned from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's an open, it will be an open database for people to use. There's no copyright on it, and not from our side or from my side. And it can never really be collected again because the situation in the field has altered so much, and it would cost an absolute fortune to replace the volume of material and the database that we have in hand here. So the best place seemed to be an institution that had the resources to make the information available to a wider user public. You know, there's photographs and all sorts of things that people might be able to use. And
so
I'm
100%
sure that John and Brian would have preferred that his collection to go in that direction.
Dr. Judy Maguire, thank you very much for talking to us. A very generous gift, both in terms probably of the financial value of what has been given, but more importantly, the educational, scientific, historical value of what has been given. The collection of the late Dr. Brian Maguire has been given to Stellenbosch.